It's Black, Yellow, White. I'm Connor Clements, joined today by Nathan Griffiths. The Phoenix, I mean, they're back, and it's the same old feeling for us long-suffering fans, because we look so good in that opening first half. Very tight game, very close, everything that we expected and wanted. And then a penalty decision finally goes our way. There's no VAR, and we think, thank goodness, because there's no VAR to overrule it, to stress over the image 1,000 times and say, actually, no, Kikuchi didn't deserve the penalty. It was 100% a penalty, but you never know. And then all of a sudden, the rest of the game just goes to pieces. Uli Davila, who was our best player before the break, comes on, and for whatever reason, gives away a handball, which a lot of people will say isn't a handball by the new rules. Obviously, it hits him on the chest first, then the arm. Where was VAR then? And suddenly we're all having second thoughts about the use of it and the fact that we could have had that. And then Davila tries to make up for it, shoots, Hooper deflects it in. He looks like he's in an onside position, but the referee's assistant flags him offside. And then Sydney go on to score two late goals as the Phoenix's heads go, and they start pushing forward to look for an equaliser, and then eventually it just all goes to pot, Nathan. And I think you're the best person to talk about this because you are a referee. What were your thoughts on the decisions? Do you think that the refereeing really swayed the game? And was that what you were expecting in the first A-League game back after a long, long break?
Yeah, well, it's a very interesting topic to discuss. Obviously, multiple decisions made there that were game-changing. Tele made his comments known. If you'd been watching the game, you would have seen. He actually went up to the officials at half-time on the pitch, which you don't see every day in the A-League, that's for sure. But I think the key thing that we look at here is VAR, and the people that slag it off when we have it are now the ones that are going to be going, we need it back. And it's quite an interesting point, because my opinion for the offside goal from Hooper, I believe from the angle we're given, he looks onside. However, we only have one angle really that we're looking at, so it is quite hard to pinpoint. But to me, he does look onside. We look at a couple of penalty shouts in there. Kikuchi had another penalty shout after getting clipped. Probably not enough contact for a penalty. Early in the first half, Grant with a similar handball kind of decision that Davila had given away. So I understand a lot of people are going to be saying, if you give Davila's, you've got to give Grant's as well. There's similar thing there. But yeah, there's very tight margins, and obviously the referee will decide what he believes is best. But yeah, I definitely do believe that he's taken a couple of easy roads out of a couple of these tough decisions here, actually.
And were you surprised by the rustiness of Davila's performance, or do you think that that's to be expected after he's obviously flown back to Mexico for his son's birth, and then he's missed a whole bunch of training, as have a lot of the other players, but he hasn't been with the squad as long as the other players have, and so it was obvious when you saw Hooper on the bench, Davila on the bench, and Rufa and Ben Wayne starting, and players like Soterio getting a chance as well, was it pretty clear that those guys just weren't up to speed?
You could definitely tell that they'd had a week less with the team, or 2 weeks, because you could see that he's not quite up to his old self quite yet. And the fact that they were both benched was, obviously they're only going to get a small amount of time just to build their minutes. I do believe that Davila has been playing well. He was running around quite well still. It's just getting the communication going, I think, is the most important thing for the players at this stage. So Hooper and Davila will be working on that, I'm sure, in the coming weeks. But yeah, I think it was more of a fact that we were allowed five subs, and sure that Sydney made their five as well. But I do think that once we made that double change with Davila and Hooper, at the same time, I think we started to lose a little bit of control over the game. And that's when we started to get into a bit more of an arm wrestle, which unfortunately we came on the wrong side of.
Yeah, and after waiting so long for the league to come back, it's frustrating to have the game decided by a couple of moments of contentious decisions, if you will. I noticed that after the game, Ufi is called for VAR to return, which is an interesting one. And I know that a lot of the players as well will be wondering what's gone wrong, and Yeah, I think the only player probably in the Phoenix that wouldn't want VAR to return was probably Louis Fenton, who after all the VAR reviewed his handball, which we still don't believe is a handball as fans.
No, no.
Even after the VAR reviews, they still said it was a pen. So, yeah, obviously you got the highlight of the season so far after the game when Archie Thompson went and interviewed Fenton. I just think that game was really it was one of those ones where the first half was so good, and there was so much good refereeing and so many good moments throughout. And I think that both teams are really playing the really good football despite the atrocious conditions. And then it kind of just showed in that second half that the players maybe just weren't ready for that full 90, or for whatever reason they just couldn't stand up to it. The sub came on. I mean, Trent for Sydney Bulgar, he just tore our defence to shreds, unfortunately. And one of those goals, Marinovic came out when he shouldn't have, I thought. I think Taylor was going to have him covered, and Marinovic came flying off his line. And then obviously it was just, he got the first one, but then missed the second one as well. So talking about the second goal, where he saved, but he just parried it straight to his feet and then got dinked, and Rufa couldn't clear off the line. So it was just two of those moments where, you know, on another day, he either makes the save or he doesn't come flying off his line and Taylor covers, or, he covers it and the striker gets off a weak shot that Marinovic is well placed to save. I don't think it's cause for any doom and gloom as yet, because obviously there's still five games to go for each of these teams, and I know that we'll still be finishing, well, we should still finish in that playoffs place as long as we don't lose our heads completely. And I believe that the team is good enough and capable enough to not do that, and just to make sure that we solidify the playoff spot and just make sure we are playing a team that isn't Sydney, basically, so that we can get them in the grand final if we get there. Because obviously without the home advantage of this final series, although there's still talks to try and get some sort of home advantage, but I just doubt it's even going to happen. With the venues for the semis and finals still confirmed, I just think that we need to focus on making sure we finish in that, you know, third, second spot if we can. Sydney are obviously going to win the minor premiership probably in their next game against Newcastle, and we just have to focus on, we say, you know what, let's ignore this game and let's just focus on the next one and make sure that we can win it in regular time and get enough goals that we don't have to worry about the officiating.
Yeah, definitely. As you look at how many games in hand teams have, we've got two on hand still with Melbourne City. So if we win both of those, we go up to second. So a loss here wasn't going to be the end of the world, like you say. And we do have that, you know, obviously first place is the hardest game you're going to get. So to have that straight up, you know, shows us how much we've got to improve and how much we've got to adjust in time for those playoffs where we could come up against Sydney. So it's likely that that will happen if we make it into the top six, which I'm very confident that we will. It's just about, progressing, getting minutes in the leagues again, and just, making good progression towards those finals, really.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think that's enough for the Phoenix for now, but we will be covering them next week, obviously, with these games coming thick and fast in the renewed A-League. But it's good to have the A-League back, no matter the result and no matter the officiating. We kind of know what to expect in this league. It's always a roller coaster. We take it as it comes, and we hopefully move on, push on to the playoffs in the next one. Another thing to talk about, and the big news coming out this morning, is that Leeds United, Nathan, are back in the English Premier League. How much will this mean to their fans? They've waited 16 years to get back to this big stage in English football. I mean, they've got Bielsa, they've got Bamford, they've got a couple of really big names, Ayling as well. How much does it mean to the fans and those players?
I think it's going to mean a big deal to them. Like you said, 16 years since they've been in the Premier League. They've spent a little bit in League One as well during that time. So to be back in amongst the big boys is going to be an amazing, amazing feeling for those fans who have year after year been taunted with the fact that they've been starting really well, playing really well, looking like they're going to be in that promotion battle, then falling off, and it seemed to be like that every season for a while. So to actually be able to actually hold on to it and perform well over the course of the season, and to actually finish in top spot as well, most likely, top spot, they'll be very pleased with a trophy for a start, and to be back amongst some of the big names and ignite some of those really big derbies like Chelsea, Man United, all
Oh, yeah,
those
huge.
games that they're going to have. Obviously, we've seen how good they were when they played Arsenal in the FA Cup. It actually made us look like a bit average in that first half, especially. We did actually win in the end, but no, those kind of games prove that I think they're not just going to be one of the Norwich kind of teams coming up and going down. So I think they'll be back, and I think they'll stay in actually.
Yeah, Leeds could be back and here to stay. Well, I mean, West Brom, Brentford, Fulham, Nottingham Forest, those are the teams in and around that playoffs conversation in the championship. Who would you want to see in terms of those names come back up, Nathan? I mean, West Brom lost, which means that Leeds United got that chance to just go straight up and finish as champions this morning. They lost to Huddersfield. And they've got one game less than Brentford, Fulham, Nottingham Forest in that area. But the only teams that really look like they could push them out of that automatic promotion spot would be Brentford and Fulham, mainly Brentford. Do you want to see Brentford come up to the Premier League, or who in those names would you want to see come up in terms of the other two? So West Brom, Brentford, Fulham, Nottingham Forest, or Cardiff City?
To be fair, I think it would be quite interesting to have a like Brentford back in the Premier League coming up, because we've had West Brom for quite a while, so it'd be nice to have a different team in there. At the end of the day, it will be the best team that over the course of the season that gets that automatic promotion spot. However, the likes of Nottingham Forest too will be an interesting an interesting side to make it into the Premier League via the playoffs potentially. So it's all to play for, and there's still teams fighting every single minute. But you look at how Brentford have been going, especially. I think it's 7 wins in a row since the restart, something like that.
Yeah, they've been
And it's
awesome.
absolutely amazing form. So if anyone's going to do it, it's going to be them.
Yeah, I'd love to see maybe Brentford and Fulham come back because I do have a soft spot for Fulham, another London club, but one that I've watched over the years and don't mind, especially when Arsenal smash them 6-0. It's always good. But yeah, I would love to see like another London club come back in. So I think Brentford and Fulham would be fantastic. And as you say, West Brom, they've been they were in the Premier League for a while, and I know there's plenty of Baggies fans around the place. But we will wait and see whether they can make it back, or whether this Brentford team is just on a run that's going to take them all the way to automatic promotion and push West Brom into that playoff trophy race. Okay. Talking about the Premier League, the big one, and I mean the biggest result for us, and we've got to talk about it, even though I think a lot of Liverpool fans would just say, oh, it doesn't matter. Arsenal beating Liverpool is huge for us because it means that we still have a chance of getting one of those European spots. I know it's a very outside shot of the Champions League, but there is still a chance if other results were to go our way, Nathan.
Yeah, it's an amazing result. I woke up to watch it. I thought, I'm probably going to lose, but we'll see how we go. We'll just see if we can put in a good performance. And we actually won the bloody game. What a intense match it was, having to watch 24 shots bear down on us throughout that 90 minutes to our measly 3. But it's all about the clinical aspect in the end, where, like I said, it was just on point with being, very good with that pressing game that he seems to be using to his strong point. It just reminded me of that Chelsea game that we had earlier in the season where Louise got sent off. We were 1-0 down. Everything was doom and gloom, and we came away with a result. It wasn't a win that day, but it was still a result. And this was even better. We beat the champions, only the third team to do it. So we're apparently amongst the likes of world-class teams like Watford and Man City.
Well, I mean, Watford, they're in a relegation battle, mate, and they are deeply in trouble if Bournemouth manage to get a result. Aston Villa, Bournemouth, and Norwich, obviously down the bottom. Norwich relegated already, but it's between, it looks like, those teams. I think Brighton is well and truly safe now, with that 37, and it just looks like it's a scrap down the bottom.
Yeah, definitely. You look at, like you say, Watford, Bournemouth, and Villa. You actually look at Watford, they've got Manchester City and Arsenal in their last two
I
games.
did
So
see that.
the likelihood of them winning those is quite slim. obviously Bournemouth and Villa have some, you know, I know that Villa's got Arsenal on the next game for them, so that'll be must win, which again could rule them out. But it'll probably be between Bournemouth and Watford if Bournemouth can keep their form up after beating Leicester City.
Yes, and Bournemouth do have Southampton and Everton, so those are definitely winnable games if they turn up. And I know that as well, Arsenal, although they're out of the Champions League spots, sorry, correcting myself, they do have a shot at Europa. But the teams up there, I mean, Leicester City could pip Man United to a Champions League spot, which would be amazing, again, for Leicester to finish in the Champions League spots for the first time since their obvious win, their fairy tale, when they finished first in the Premier League. But looking at that as well, it's just crazy to see that the likes of Wolves are beating Tottenham at the moment. Sheffield United 1 point away from Tottenham on 54 points, and then Arsenal back on 53 in ninth. So it's so close for those Europa League spots. And then with Man City's ban being overturned recently, so they're obviously back in the Champions League for next season. They'll maintain a whole bunch of players that we thought they were going to lose. Although Sané's gone to Bayern, he's the one big player they've lost. But I think a lot of players who were slated to leave will stay. It just begs the question, next season, who do you see finishing in the top two? Who do you see finishing in the top four? And then who's going to be playing for those Europa League spots? Bear in mind that, you know, the likes of Leicester could be playing in the Champions League. The likes of Man United and Wolves will be in the Europa League again.
Yeah, well, you look at the fixtures that we've got this year and you see how tight it is, and it's so hard to predict who's going to be in there next year too. You know, Sheffield United looked like they were on point for a Europa League spot and could actually miss out now. But like you say, the Leicester-Man United game is definitely one that you might need to be watched due to the fact that it could come down to the final day who makes it into the Champions League or not. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be drama. It's going to be a lot of intense battles over these last two match days. But yeah, next season, I think it all depends on how the teams recover from the coronavirus, because of all of the financial implications it's got. I know that Arsenal are struggling for funds, and Arteta has said he doesn't know how much he's going to have to spend. I don't know how much, you know, other teams will be struggling, but I would say that, you know, they'll be struggling a little bit as well. So it'll be interesting to see how the likes of Wolves and Sheffield United try to keep up, even Leicester, with the financial game, especially with the likes of Werner going to Chelsea and you know, all these big signings linked to Man United and all the big clubs as they are every year. I do think that if Man United can continue this good run that they're going on, they could be back in that top four if they play as well as they have been since the restart. I think Spurs will need to fall a bit further down before they can regain some quality and actually get back in between those spots. But it'll be great to see them miss out, even if we have to as well.
Yeah, there's always a silver lining of Spurs also struggling, although it does look like they might finish above us at the end of the season, although they still have a big game against Leicester to go, but they finished their season against Crystal Palace. And talking of the teams who still have cup competitions to go for, obviously the FA Cup's coming up tomorrow. There's going to be a big game between Man United and Chelsea, and then Arsenal versus Man City as well. So those are two huge games in the FA Cup. And then teams still in the European competitions, obviously Liverpool are out after their loss to Atletico, but you've still got Wolves in, Man United both in the Europa League. You've got a massive game between Man City versus the new La Liga champions Real Madrid, that second league, which Man City are up in. So there's still plenty of football to look forward to and be excited about, even though the Premier League season is ending, with these kind of mini tournaments that they're staging for the Europa League and the Champions League now, Nathan.
Yeah, definitely. You've got like a lot of focus on those competitions, especially for the likes of Manchester City, who've got basically nothing left to play for. They've got second place. They'll be fully focusing on that competition in is it Portugal?
Yes, or the champion? Yeah, they're doing the Portugal, yeah.
Where they'll be looking to that, where they have a good advantage over Real Madrid. But obviously Real Madrid coming back from La Liga, the only team not to drop any points, I believe. So it's going to be a tough battle for them, but they'll definitely be looking forward to that. as well as Chelsea, who've got to overturn a heavy loss to Bayern.
Yeah, I'd kind of discounted Chelsea, to be honest.
don't think they're going to be able to do anything there, especially with how well Bayern have been playing as well. Man United in the Europa League, they'll go a few more rounds further before they probably have to struggle against any top opposition. And you look, obviously, Arsenal don't have anything to worry about in that regard after their embarrassing exit.
Yeah.
But no, it'll be quite interesting to see how those teams approach it, especially with Manchester City in the FA Cup as well, whether they'll take a second team there or whether they'll go fully fledged trying to build for that Champions League. It'll be interesting to see, but definitely a couple of big blockbuster clashes in the FA Cup that we'll be looking forward to at Wembley.
Yes, absolutely. Well, both of the North London clubs, Spurs and Arsenal, out of European competition after embarrassing losses. The quarterfinal draw for the Champions League, just to remind everyone, Atalanta versus PSG, Leipzig versus Atletico, Napoli or Barcelona, versus Chelsea or Bayern Munich, and Real Madrid or Manchester City versus Lyon or Juventus. So huge games. I mean, this is amazing stuff, and the fact that the team like Atalanta or PSG or Leipzig could get into the semi-finals is fantastic.
Definitely, it's a great opportunity for teams that haven't been in amongst the semi-finals to actually push for that. Obviously, we had Ajax last season, who pushed into those spots. This year, it could as well be Atalanta or RB Leipzig. Yet to find out, but that clash Atalanta will have against PSG will be an absolutely monumental clash. They've scored 93 goals this season in Serie A, and they looked out and without a chance in the group stage, losing their first three matches, but managed to come out of it after a great following three matches. So it'll be all great to see how their team keeps going. They've been playing well in Serie A. They'll be looking forward to this chance, where they probably will not have another chance as good as this to make it into a semi-final, surely. But yeah. We look at this and we're just so glad that we've got this high-quality football back again. And we're just looking forward to all of the games, especially these big clashes coming up.
Absolutely, mate. Well, it's been a pleasure to have you on. And I hope everyone enjoyed this quick fire episode of Black Yellow White, talking about the return of the A-League. Finally, it's been far too long, as well as a bit of Premier League and also the Championship. Congratulations to Leeds once again. We covered off Real Madrid obviously winning, and the big trophy competitions coming up, starting with the FA Cup tomorrow morning, but also there's the Champions League and Europa League to look forward to. So plenty of football coming up. Obviously the A-League will be front of mind for a lot of us, and we hope that the Wellington Phoenix can bounce back from their defeat against Sydney and get a couple of wins on the road to hopefully qualifying for those playoffs and making that rejigged playoff competition. Nathan, do you have anything to say before we wrap this up?
Just one more thing about the Phoenix, really. Mm-hmm. We've got Perth up next, obviously without Diego Castro. Massive blow, in my opinion.
Yeah, huge.
Quality player. I think Economides isn't available either.
Yeah.
A couple of other their players as well, so it's a good chance to bounce back with 3 points and to push for that second spot. It's going to take it one game at a time and not over-analyse the full situation until we get there, just so that we can really take in the coronavirus restart, so that we know how it's all going to work and just use each opportunity and each game as a building block towards the bigger picture. You see that Alex Rufer and Stephen Taylor, they're targeting a win of the A-League. I think it's still well within our grasp, and it's going to be very exciting to see it hopefully unfold in the coming month.
Yeah, absolutely. As you say, Sydney have already won the Premier's Plate, but let's just target that grand final, and hopefully we can be in that position where we can challenge whoever is in the grand final. It'll probably be Sydney, but it could be anyone. And challenge them and hopefully take that victory. And even if we don't get a home final, it still would be an amazing feat to win the A-League, and especially for a team that has never won the A-League before. So we can still dream as fans. We can still hope that this amazing squad can do what no other Wellington Phoenix squad has done. But until then, we'll be watching, we'll be waiting, and we'll be hoping that the boys can pull it through. So from me, Connor Clements,
And me, Nathan Griffiths.
This has been Blackula White. Thanks for listening.